The Real Estate Revolution is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice. Please consult your trusted financial advisor, real estate professional, or attorney before making any real estate or financial decisions. Please remember, when following advice, your results may vary. And all information covered here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the hosts and guests consider important.
With the latest in real estate news, you can learn all the facts that will keep you on track and use them any way you choose.
And now it's time for a power hour from America's trusted resource for everything real estate. Everything in the real estate industry is in a constant movement of change. It's a real estate revolution with your host, Victoria Riva De Nera, and her co-host, Scott Forsino. Welcome to the Real Estate Revolution.
Revolution.
Good evening and happy Monday. I'm Victoria Riva De Nera, president of the Northeast Division for Exit Realty Corp International and a New York State licensed real estate broker for the past 25 years. I'm also a proud member of the National Association of Realtors, among other associations. And I'm here tonight, back here again, in the studio of WFAS with my co-host, Scott Forsino. How are you this evening, Scott?
Great. Thank you, Victoria. Yes, we're in the same seats, too.
Yes, we are, except you're not sitting.
I'm standing to this time. Like a stand-up desk that they're talking about?
Right. Nervous energy?
I'm up.
Always nervous.
Thinking on my feet.
Thinking on your feet. That's good. So, I open each week wishing everyone a happy Monday. Are your Mondays happy, Scott?
Sure. It's TGIM. Thank God.
TGIM. I like that. You know, Mondays really do get a bad rap. But studies show that Monday is not the worst day of the week. What's the worst day of the week, Scott?
I think Tuesday.
Tuesday is the worst day of the week.
That's when stuff happens.
See, this is why you're standing on your feet.
I know it does. It's when
that is when stuff happens. They say that Monday is when you find out what you missed from the prior week. But Tuesday is the day that you have to get it all done.
That's when things start getting real on Tuesdays for the week.
It gets real on Tuesday. And for realtors, Monday brings the weekend deal, so we typically like Mondays.
Mm-hmm. Starting contracts, sure.
Do you know that Mondays are known to be the best traffic day?
Best meaning least cars or best meaning?
Least cars.
Fewest cars, got it.
Yes, fewest cars. Do you know why?
No, I don't know why. They're at work?
Come on, you're on your feet.
I don't know why.
Why would Mondays be the least traffic day of the week of the year? Listen to me. Of the week.
I guess because people are at work.
No, because most people will take Monday off to extend the weekend. Well, you should know that with your savage tan.
I would tell you, irrespective of the tan, I was a Friday guy when I could take the days. Monday I was back. Friday, Thursday night was my Friday night. So I was never a Monday takeoff guy.
Oh, okay.
Because the rest of the world isn't. Fridays is kind of
I'll understood. Buy that.
Okay.
But do you know that 50% of people are late on Mondays as well? 50%.
Mm-hmm. I believe
it's pretty high, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's another interesting fact. More coffee is sold on Mondays. Makes sense.
We want to have Tom in on the coffee aspect. He's an unapologetic coffee drinker.
Ah, all right. Well, we all like our coffee, right? Do you drink coffee, Scott?
A bit.
I don't think I've ever seen you drink coffee.
Not like others, but I do.
Okay. Here's another fact, and as a girly girl, I know an unusual statistic that you probably won't know. It's not sports related.
Okay, go ahead.
People have cleaner hair on Monday. They also have cleaner clothes on Monday.
Oh, they do laundry?
They do laundry on the weekends, yes.
You know who never does laundry on the weekends? Me.
You. I know. You said you don't even have an iron in your house, right? You don't iron your clothes?
Shout out to Heather who's listening. No, we don't iron. And I don't do the laundry, so I don't know that stuff.
Nice.
But the
life must
clean.
Be good
but
for
Monday
Scott Forsino, huh?
It's clean.
Must be very nice to be you. So here's a negative about Mondays. They say most people don't smile until 11 a.m. In fact, it's 11:16 is the time.
Oh, I believe it. It's a serious uptime from getting to work, look at your papers. We did that today.
Really? So you don't smile until 11 o'clock?
There's not much to smile about. You got to get ready and get your butt in the seat and start moving.
See, I don't feel that way at all. I wake up smiling every day.
Hmm. I got it. Okay.
Yeah. Look, I'm smiling right now.
Yeah, I'm smiling at you.
You're smiling at me. That's right. All right. So, enough of Mondays. This is a real estate show, not a Monday show, yep. right? So, let's talk a little bit about the real estate market. Market's improving.
Yeah, okay. The Fed decided to not raise rates, kept it at a all-time low of zero. Obviously, it couldn't be lower than zero, so it's still that low. That, I think, bodes well for mortgage interest rates. And buyers who are qualified and motivated should have a tough time, because I'm hearing in the Westchester world that there are offers on properties almost as soon as they hit the market.
That's what I'm hearing, too. Well, sales are definitely up, and that's the reason, you know, that you're seeing all that. But buyer confidence is up, too.
So I hear.
Yep. So you hear.
Well, buyers are more enthusiastic, but I don't know that in all cases it's warranted. They just made me thinking it's as it was. They're excited. People need a home for their tax deduction. They're out shopping.
Yeah, I think they're out more now than they've ever been. And this actually leads me to open houses. Because right. they're out there, they're going to more open houses. Would mm-hmm. you agree with that?
Yes, I do agree with that. Yep. They're out looking when they can, hands-on, and get the foot in the door and see what's out there.
Right. So they're attending open houses. They're visiting model homes on new construction sites. Mm-hmm. And open houses have a lot of benefits to homeowners. But there's also a scary part to an open house, too. Right?
Well, I would think that a homeowner, whether they're unrepresented or with the representation of a professional realtor, have people, strangers in your house.
Well, that's the thing. Strangers can just walk in. You know, if you're showing a house and their realtor represented, mm-hmm. they usually know the buyer. But if you're doing an open house or a realtor is at a model home, anyone can just walk in, any stranger.
Right. They haven't been vetted. They haven't been identified. In fact, we don't have any idea whether they're capable of completing the purchase. It's a dangerous thing, and you know, and some people may argue that this shouldn't happen at all. And I say, if they're going to go to an open house, why can't they just go with a realtor? Why not be escorted and professionally represented? You know, what's the downside?
That's a good point. You know, but right now, as it stands, anyone can just walk into an open house, and when they're in an open house, they can pretty much do anything. They can open cabinets, closets. They can observe every single part of that house in detail. And most homeowners will know to lock up their jewelry. But there's other things that are important that they're not even thinking about.
Such as?
Well, for instance, medicine cabinets. Prescription drugs are usually in medicine cabinets. You know, someone goes in, they open up the medicine cabinet, now they take it. This is a haven for anyone who's an addict, yes?
I would think, and maybe unlock some windows or doors that...
Yeah, they can case the house, right?
See where the valuables or the big screen TV are.
Yeah, and then come back later on if they unlock a door that no one's
mm-hmm.
watching.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right? And what about that garage door remote that's hanging on somebody's hook?
Yeah, I have that.
Right? You could just take that, mm-hmm. and that's easy, easy access.
And the homeowner doesn't know who did it because there's a bunch of people in there.
Yeah, you would have no idea. Right? And chances are they wouldn't even notice it missing. You know, would you notice it missing?
No, because I don't even use it.
You don't even use it. Right? I hope you lock your doors.
But yeah. but the problem is that homeowners are thinking of the bad last market where, you know, it was business as usual. There's been, and that Tom is here to give us information of some of the statistics regarding realtors. There have been, there's a real need now to address and change how things are done. Consumers have to respect the new rules, so to speak, and the approaches that realtors take, and be prepared for them and adjust their expectations.
Absolutely, absolutely. You hit a very good point. You know, September is Realtor Safety Month, and we do have a very special guest with us this evening. We have Tom Grimes, who is a retired New York City police detective. He's also president of New York's Finest Speakers, a law enforcement public speaking bureau. And he speaks on internet awareness, drug awareness, and realtor safety. We're really happy to have you here, Tom.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, well, Tom, we have a lot of questions for you.
Perfect.
You know, we want to know what it is that you're speaking about, how this affects realtors, but more importantly, how does it affect the buyers and the sellers?
Well, my starting point with the presentation that I would do is that real estate agents make their living meeting with complete strangers in empty houses. I know from my background in the police department, what I try to do is apply some of the principles, some of the safety principles that we would use in a police department to what a real estate agent might do. And I don't know how that statement makes you guys feel, but that statement terrifies me. The last thing I want to do is be behind locked doors with complete strangers. In a narcotics world, we would try to identify as much information about the people we were meeting with prior to that meeting. And any opportunity a real estate agent has to do just that, to vet somebody before they're ever alone with that person, is what they need to do. With a stranger, what they're trying to do is take the anonymity away from that encounter. Somebody with bad intentions, and there's quite a few horror stories of people with bad intentions that are meeting real estate agents for the wrong reasons, they need to know that somebody else knows that you're meeting with me and where we're going, what time we're starting, and what time we're stopping. It's simple things that can keep people safer.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. What are your thoughts on that, Scott?
Well, I know that's important to consumers because they are now used to being what is unaffectionately known as Pop-Tart agents, where the agents will run wherever, anytime, anywhere a possible buyer wants to see a property. They have the fear of missing out on the commission, so they'll run anywhere, anytime. I know that Tom has some statistics which are really, really, really compelling and should be scary and should really prompt homeowners to understand why the market and the procedures and the showing protocol has changed, and they have to adjust with it. Otherwise, they're just going to be really their rights, their opportunities as buyers will be hurt. It's not the realtors that are going to be hurt. It's the consumers that will be hurt.
Right. I just want to let our listeners know that you can join in on the conversation here today by calling 914-693-5700. Again, that's 914-693-5700. And I believe we already have a caller on the line. So before we go to the statistics that, Tom, that you're hopefully going to share with us, I'd like to hear from Christine. Christine, are you on hold with us?
I am. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening, Christine. How are you today?
I am good.
Do you have a question or you want to jump into this conversation?
Yeah, it's Christine Beckwith from Annie Mac.
Oh, I know you, Christine. How are you?
Good, good. I thought I could lend a little bit to the topic, obviously, as the National Director of Sales for Annie Mac, and in charge of real estate also for Annie Mac, our real estate partnership. I know you know, Victoria, I travel extensively throughout the United States. We have 55 branch locations, and obviously safety is a big part and requirement in my job as well. So I find the topic intriguing, and I can tell you that, you know, Annie Mac has put its employees through a lot of safety training because, like realtors, you know, we are also visiting not only real estate offices but homes for the same reason. We're meeting clients at their homes to take their mortgage applications and such. And a lot of times, you know, that is being done as an individual person in locations that they've never visited, with individuals they've never met. So, you know, some of the safety things that I would share with the listeners on the call tonight, and I'm aware of a lot of the big news stories that have happened to realtors in the past few years, really scary stories, some horrible stories. And, you know, what I would tell you is that, you know, one of the things that, you know, we do and I do is we always make sure that every time we're going anywhere, that someone's aware of where we're going. You know, it's kind of used as an anchor.
We have Tom here, Christine, and he's nodding as you said that.
A backup agent or administrator needs to know where you're going and who you're going with. Not to limit what you can do, but just to keep track. If you go missing, time is of the essence. It matters whether people know you're missing 5 minutes after you're gone or 5 hours or 5 days, that type of thing.
Yeah, exactly the point that was made in our safety training. And one of the other tricks of our trade, and I use this one quite at religiously, I would say, is that when we arrive at the appointments that we're going to, we actually, you know, introduce ourselves. Hi, I'm Christine. Very nice to meet you. I've talked to you several times on the phone. You have a lovely home, whatever the scenario is. And then we say, could you just excuse me one moment because I need to call into my office and let them know I have arrived at the appointment. And I physically will call in. If I get a voicemail, I act like I'm talking to a live person in the voicemail. And I literally say, you know, hey, Kelsey, in the name of my secretary, This is Christine. You know, I just want to let you know I've arrived at the Jones House at 111 Main Street. It's 6:05. You know, I'm going to be here for about an hour if you have any needs while I'm here. My cell phone is on. You know, and
what do you think about that, Tom?
Good information. That you want to create the perception, even if it's not real. The person you're with wants to believe that they're not anonymous, that somebody else knows we're meeting and where we're meeting. That's
awesome.
That's good stuff.
Hold that thought, Christine. We're going to go to break. If you would be so kind to stay on hold with us while we're on break, we'll come back to you as soon as we return. And for anyone else who wants to jump into the conversation, please give us a call at 914-693-5700.
Have you ever been disappointed because something important you planned went wrong at the last moment? Doesn't that make you really frustrated? That won't happen at Movement Mortgage, where your entire loan process is designed to remove the stress and hassles from getting your loan approved quickly. Movement Mortgage is an Inc. 500 fastest growing company in 42 states, including this area, working hard for you. How? At Movement Mortgage, your loan is processed in 7 days, and we underwrite in the first 48 hours. We expedite your loan and update you continually. When buying your first home, upgrading, downsizing, or even refinancing, call your Movement Mortgage team today. The movement of change is here for you with Movement Mortgage. Call Movement Mortgage at 1-800-516-2119. That's 1-800-516-2119. Movement Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID 39179.
The movement of change is here. Movement Mortgage.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO Pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138, or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
And we're back. And Christine, are you still on the hold with us?
I am.
Awesome. Well, thank you for holding. I'm going to let Tom take over here and share some stats with you and some information.
Well, I got involved a couple of years ago. I did an internet awareness presentation up in Connecticut for the Northern Fairfield County Association of Realtors. And Rich Emick, the president up there, grabbed me afterwards and he said, you should really put something together for real estate agents. And I'll be honest, I said, why? And he sat me down and schooled me with a couple of statistics that blew me away. I researched it and put a presentation together a couple of years ago, and it's been fairly well received within the real estate community. And I'll start with the most overwhelming fact. There's been 189 realtors who were homicide victims at work since 2008.
Wow.
20 in 2014. The U.S. Department of Labor, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, releases those statistics every year. And there were 20 real estate agents murdered in 2014, 189 in the last 6 years. And what Scott said, could you imagine flight attendants, pilots, or co-pilots, if we lost 189 of them at work, you would have to get to an airport a month before your flight to pass through security. But yet very little has changed in the real estate industry. And I don't know where you stand. 189, maybe it's a small number with the thousands and thousands of real estate agents, but if you're one of those 189, or a coworker or a good friend is one of those 189, you take notice.
No, I agree. I don't think there should be one.
And in this industry, we're very reactive. After something horrible happens, we start to do things differently. What we need to do is learn from what's already taken place. I did a presentation down in Cape May, New Jersey, and it was a horrifying attack in Philadelphia the year before. Nobody in Cape May had even heard of this attack. It was a real estate agent attacked after an open house.
So we're not doing a good enough job in getting the information of what's happening out there.
That would be my belief, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yes.
Victoria, it's even worse than that because Tom mentioned the airline industry. Those are all employees. The airports all have employees. One big boss says it is the way it is, and that's what happens with the Jersey barriers by the drop-off, or they built walls where there weren't. The problem with real estate is these are all 2 million licensees, 1 million realtors. They're independent contractors. So if Victoria says, I'm not doing that, I'm going to be a pop drum to get out there and beat everybody and get right when they call, it's really hurting the biggest set of cats in the world. Unfortunately, you don't have uniformity. The brokers cannot dictate, as much as the general public may believe that the broker, the boss, can tell them how to do it. These are people are 1099, independent work, independent contractors, and they do what they want. It's a fact. So
maybe it's because they're just not aware.
It's
so
one
I
component.
Think we are raising awareness
we
every
are.
Single day since we have heard about some of these homicides.
It's true. It's a very difficult thing to protect people from themselves. I tell people you need to assign a risk-reward ratio to everything you do. And what makes you think it's a good idea? What's the commission on that rental property that makes somebody think it's a good idea to meet a complete stranger in the train station parking lot at 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night to show them a townhouse?
Right, that commission is definitely not worth more than
Without
your life.
Without a doubt.
Hold that thought. We have another caller on the line. Lisa, are you with us?
I am. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Lisa. Do you have a question for us, or would you like to just jump on this conversation?
Well, I have my own personal experience that I'd like to share.
Oh, please do.
I was with my friend, who's a female agent.
Are you an agent as well? Are you a realtor?
I am not. I'm a buyer.
Oh, okay.
And I was with my friend, like I said, who's a female agent, and we went to go look at this house, and when we pulled into the driveway, this guy who wasn't right in the head came out of a barn out of nowhere. I mean, we were not warned that he was there or that there was somebody else on the property. It was dusk. I mean, we all were scared and beelined out of there.
Can I tell our Periscope users concisely?
Yes, please
okay,
do.
Okay, so the caller said she was a buyer, and she went to a property. I don't remember if she had a realtor or not. She
yes, did, with a realtor.
With a realtor, but yet someone who they had no idea would be there was there, and he was maybe a little bit, intent on harm or a bit, not controlled, and they were scared.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you left. You left the premises.
Oh, we didn't even get out of the car because
that was
this person
smart.
Came right out of the barn and, made a beeline for us in the car.
Well, I start right there. You trusted your instincts. Who knows what he was there for, but your instincts were telling you this is not a good situation. And that's step one, is trusting our instincts on every situation that we encounter. You're right, and you know it. Maybe you can't articulate it to somebody, but if you get that bad feeling, you need to trust it every time. And that's what it sounds like you guys did in this situation.
I would say don't even go near any house with a barn. I mean, that's what I would, if I saw a barn, I would.
Well, that would not be a good, that's not good advice, Scott.
I'm down here in this part of the state, so if I see a barn, I think that there's something that is problematic. I wouldn't trust that.
Well, Lisa, thank you very much for sharing your story. But Tom, that goes back to what you were saying before. I mean, if you're in a bad situation, get out.
Get
fast.
Out. Get out. Yes. There's
the last thing you want to do is get in that house with a stranger.
That's correct.
Behind locked
you know,
doors.
I can apologize later. If I insulted you because my instincts were telling me get out and I get out, I'll call you up later and say I apologize if it turned out to be I was overreacting, but I want to live to see the next day to be able to make that call and apologize to you. I trust my gut every time out.
Well, Victoria, this is consumer-facing, so I then say to you, I own the house with the barn, and my broker had an appointment with this agent for the buyer. Why didn't they have a showing? I mean, my house is listed. I've been on the market 6 months. We haven't had any buyers. And then maybe my little brother was a little bit too loud, and she drove away. I mean, it's a matter of perception. So What do you say to the consumer who's now, who may feel, justifiably or not, that their showings are less frequent because there's this, all this safety nonsense that I want to get my house sold. And now this, my listing agent is requiring the buyer's agent to get somebody to the house. I mean, this is too much. I used to just sell the house or any other home. Now what? What do I, my listing agent's really not doing a good job. I want to change agents because they're just.
Tom, how would you answer that?
Well, yeah. I think there's a lot of different things we can do to market a property without taking a risk to ourselves. The internet has changed the world, and the internet, I think, has changed real estate. How real estate agents market their property and market themselves to a certain extent come into play. Maybe you don't know about it, but they can track how many hits on a particular site and how many people are looking at a particular property, and that way only real buyers make contact with that real estate agent. Mm-hmm. And when we meet them, we vet them. I joke that a buyer won't spend 15 minutes to be pre-qualified, but a realtor is supposed to spend 8 hours on a Saturday afternoon with them.
That's a very good point.
They need to do their part, and we need to
do our
part as
well. That's a very, very good point. You said you put together some guidelines, and in those guidelines, are you... You know, is sharing with realtors that they should have the buyers come and meet at the office.
100%. The real estate agent is the professional in this transaction. 100% of first encounters with a new client have to take place in the real estate office. It takes the anonymity away. Mm-hmm. We start a client file. We photograph a driver's license. We make copies of it. We start a file. Other people in my agency know who my client is and where we're going and when we're going. And it has to happen 100% of the time. It's a re-education of the real estate industry. It's a re-education of the American public, and it starts with real estate agents educating their clients and the American public, and it starts in your office.
That's
if
it.
You made a dental appointment and the dentist said, meet me in a parking lot, you wouldn't go to that dentist's office. You guys are the professionals in this situation. They come to your office, and we start a professional relationship.
I think that's the answer to your question, Scott. You know, have them come to the office, and then you would eliminate situations where you're pulling up to a house and then there's somebody there.
I agree. That solves the problem amongst professionals. These are all licensees. These are people who pay their dues. These are all people that are working within an office. And are in all cases, unless they are the principal broker, responsible to the principal broker. But at the crux of this issue is how do we bridge the gap between the consumer who may not be reasonable, the consumer who definitely their last go-round did not do it this way, so they don't buy 35 houses a month, they buy four in a lifetime. So if this is the experience they can call upon and they think that their realtor might be a little bit overzealous or they're away, I've done it myself. I said, come to the office. Someone said, no, I won't do that. I'll call someone else. They believe mm-hmm. that they can always call someone else who's not going to take the approach that Tom, our professional, says. And I think, tragically, if you really ask my opinion, I think they're right. They know that they can make a phone call. And out of how many phone calls, out of 10, will they get to that property without going to the office? Let's be honest. In this county,
I think it's time for the realtor to raise the bar on that so that we're all doing the same thing consistently. And, you know, our safety is much more important. We have another caller on the line. We have Bill. Bill, are you still with us?
I am. This is great. This has been a very good conversation, and you just hit upon several of the points that I wanted to make. I am, too, a realtor, and I do run a brokerage. And it's important for the consumer to understand that they're putting themselves at risk as well. If they think they're going to meet someone at a property, the way the Internet works now, which was a good point, Tim, they don't know that who they're meeting is who they're meeting. It could be a total scam site. They have
Bill,
no
that's
idea.
A very good point that you just said, that the consumer is putting themselves at risk as well. And we just had a caller that said she herself was a buyer, went with a realtor, they went to a house, and that there was somebody hiding in the barn. Tom, okay. You want to talk to Bill on this?
I think you're absolutely right, Bill. I think you have some ideas. Share them with us.
Well, no, I just think and Scott hit the nail right on the head. This is the consumer needs to also be aware that the realtor that's asking them to come to the office or at least meet at a public place is doing it for their benefit, not just to find out if they're qualified, but to be safe for both parties. And I think the consumers need to understand that as well as the realtors. And to Scott's point, he's right. Every 10 calls, the consumer is probably going to get 5 or 6 people that will just run them out, popped out agent. And that's great, but it's not in the consumer's best interest. It's not in the realtor's best interest. It's in no one's best interest.
Agree completely.
I also want to make one more point. Back several years ago, you mentioned hiding drugs and so forth, putting things out of sight, out of mind. People throw things in their top drawer. Well, we had a buyer, quote unquote, come to our office, met my agent. She took them out, and he was rifling drawers. There was a team working, and they would break apart, and one of them would rifle drawers and pull checks out of the middle of a check book. And so they didn't know they had been ripped off until those checks started to clear sometime later. So it's very important. It's not just thrown in a drawer, that things that are of value need to be out of sight, not just hidden, but totally out of sight. So if somebody opens a drawer, they don't see pills, they don't see checkbooks, they don't see anything of value, period.
And truth is, those are the obvious things. The less obvious things are the family calendar, showing that we're going to be in the Bahamas the first week in April, making our house vulnerable to burglary. Things like kids' schedules, things on the refrigerator, bills, any personal information that's findable by somebody, because we have to take a worst-case scenario sometimes. We have a parade of people going through an empty house, man. What are they there for? Most of them are there for the right reasons. The ones that are not. Listen, shoplifting is big business in this country, and I'll carry it over to visiting an empty house and stealing what I can get my hands on and stealing what I can sell. Everything has to be removed across the board. When you know a house is being shown by a real estate agent anywhere in the United States, that house has to be empty of anything of value, a hide a key or the evidence of a hide a key. All these things come into play when a house is shown, and it takes a real estate agent to educate that client of how vulnerable they are when people are coming into their home.
One thing I was thinking from the consumer side, the sellers are the ones with the homes, obviously. If they would, this is pure grassroots, if they would compel, require, as a condition to gaining the listing, if they would, in writing, direct the proposed listing agent to say that nobody will see this house, and there's proof of it, if my listing agent is Sally Rowe and Jane Doe shows it, Jane Doe has to demonstrate proof, like you would with any other transaction, that this buyer has been at least identified at this time and date, scan it, send it, take a photo of their ID, as a condition of showing the premises. Tom, if listing agents did not allow showings by agents that did not do as you're describing, we would solve the problem today.
Correct. If everyone that we meet is a qualified buyer who's been vetted, it's a more efficient world. The bottom line, that house is going to sell because those people are there for the right reason.
Mm-hmm. And so it's really not 100% of realtors. It's 50% of realtors, because if we focused on consumers who demanded that of their listing agent, that means that when a Pop-Tart shows up, they would be denied entrance. So if all of a sudden it hit half the realtors or all the realtors in their pocketbook, I mean, that unwitting seller would be saving realtors without knowing it.
But is that realistic?
I think it is realistic.
Yes?
Listen,
okay,
the way...
So one of your agents calls my office, let's say. You know, let's say I'm a broker. I am a broker, but I don't run a brokerage. Let's say an agent calls up from your office, and my listing agent in the office says to you, well, we want proof of who this is and that they're qualified. Are you going to send that over? Are you going to send all that information? You're representing the buyer.
Under the new rules, yes, absolutely.
So I'm glad to hear that.
I would say to the buyer, here's the world we live in. There's been a lot of agents.
How many realtors are going to do that, though?
I think the number of realtors that would do that on their own is questionable. We can gauge, we can estimate 50%.
Let's ask Bill. Bill, are you still on the call with us? Nope, we dropped Bill.
I think, however, if there was a rule and that it's all in the seller's hands, it's in the seller's, they're holding the pen. If this was a pre-printed form on our local board of realtors that no showings by any agent who hasn't done XYZ, as Tom's describing and prescribing.
So you're saying put it right in the contract using the seller as the crutch. This is what the seller is demanding of us. And
no commission will be paid at closing unless this is this policy. So the seller gains a lot of safety. They don't have weirdos in their house. And the agents both gain safety that the buyer has been vetted, and whether they can even, I mean, we're not even getting to the point of whether they can buy the house. We just want to make sure we know who they are, as Bill said.
Right.
Are they there for that purpose?
Well, Tom, you speak on this all the time to realtors. What's the reaction?
Well, the reaction is it's very difficult to do what we're talking about if individual companies try to do it. It has to be across the board. It has to be this industry. From a safety standpoint, it's not a gender issue. It's an industry issue. This industry is viewed as a soft target. It's people isolated in homes that they're somewhat unfamiliar with. They don't live there. It's opportunity. And what we need to do is eliminate that across the board. I don't know why there's not national regulations on bare minimum of what real estate agents should do with somebody before they're ever alone.
Let's talk about that when we come back from the break. Again, if you're a caller and you'd like to join in on this discussion, give us a call at 914-693-5700.
Have you ever been disappointed because something important you planned went wrong at the last moment? Doesn't that make you really frustrated? That won't happen at Movement Mortgage, where your entire loan process is designed to remove the stress and hassles from getting your loan approved quickly. Movement Mortgage is an Inc. 500 fastest growing company in 42 states, including this area, working hard for you. How? At Movement Mortgage, your loan is processed in 7 days, and we underwrite in the first 48 hours. We expedite your loan and update you continually. When buying your first home, upgrading, downsizing, or even refinancing, call your Movement Mortgage team today. The movement of change is here for you with Movement Mortgage. Call Movement Mortgage at 1-800-516-2119. That's 1-800-516-2119. Movement Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID 39179.
The movement of change is here. Movement Mortgage.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138, or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
And we're back. And this is a hot subject here. We are video streaming this on Twitter through Periscope and Meerkat, and we have someone who is on Periscope that said that they have a friend whose mom was killed, who was a realtor, and the mom was killed in 1995.
There's at least 189 similar stories. As horrifying as that is, I use an example, a 71-year-old real estate agent named Ann Nelson. She was in this situation on a Saturday afternoon when she realized this is an unqualified buyer. And she made the mistake, and she said to this person, why are you here if you don't have any money?
Hmm.
And he beat her to death with a fire poker that was in that living room. And that's what that woman did. She said, why are you here? And her life is lost. There are countless, countless, countless stories of people attacked like that. People posing as buyers to gain access to somebody. Maybe they first met them on the internet. They became somewhat obsessed with the image that they saw. And then they saw this person is going to be all alone from 2 to 4 on Saturday afternoon on 15 secluded acres above the lake. Opportunity knocking.
Yep. Tom, it's worse than that. Because if you've ever, as a broker, and we know realtors do this, call for sell by owners. If you ever, as a broker, want to be talked to nicely, call a FSBO. They will love you if they think you're a prospective buyer. These are people on Craigslist, these people on Zillow. They will welcome you open arms.
Right. And if you show up dressed nice in a nice car,
sure,
they'll open the door, right
so
away.
You need, you know, that's it. You look,
you know,
at,
because criminals don't look that part. Everyone thinks
right,
that the
look
criminal
at Tom.
Is
Tom
going
Tom looks
to...
great with the power tie. He can get in any house. He can get into the White House, probably. So these people get him in. All they care about is selling a house and avoiding the commission.
Right.
They'll do anything.
But there's more to it than that. We have another caller on the line. We have Melanie.
Hi.
Melanie, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
You brought up a point about buyers who don't want to use a broker, where they want to just do it all themselves.
Right.
And the same safety. I think they're more vulnerable because it's their home.
You mean a seller that doesn't want to use a broker? You mean a seller?
The seller doesn't
right.
want to use
yeah,
a broker.
Yeah, those unrepresented sellers.
Exactly what you were just talking about.
Right, so that means two strangers. No one have any idea what the other's intent is. At least one is in safe in their home, and one is a person who represents a savings. So that commission is worth that seller's life,
right.
I guess.
But what about overzealous real estate agents? You know, you're talking about the agent needs to be protected from the supposed buyer. What about the buyer needing to be protected from the overzealous agent?
As far as a strong sales pitch or bodily harm?
Bodily harm, emotional harm, mostly emotional harm.
Where
the very pushy salesperson, and they feel almost like they're being threatened because the realtor says, oh no, you don't want to see that house, you want to see that house. And it's a lot of hostility there.
Tom,
from the outside looking in, I think it has to start with an interview process. I don't know you, and you don't know me. Let's sit down in a controlled environment and see if we meet each other's needs. Maybe we do, but maybe
right.
we do not.
Right. Just recently, we had a dinner party, and I was talking to one of my friends who was saying how we all know this one broker in our neighborhood, and he always tries to. He's very aggressive. Very pushy. He always tries to manipulate the deal and puts a lot of pressure, and the potential buyer was very turned off that he just wouldn't leave them alone.
I mean we've all been in sales situations. Was that individual threatened and bodily, or was there any harm, or just was it really great annoyance?
It was emotional harm, and also the other thing is they felt that the realtor wasn't showing them appropriate properties.
That can happen, but that is outside the purview of our conversation. We're talking about the 2 million licensees in the country, how they can remain safe, and what the general public should.
Right. But I also think that the buyers have to look at themselves too, that sometimes the realtor is so interested in a sale that you want to make sure that they're ethical, that they're not so pushy that the buyer feels they're at risk.
Mm-hmm. I understand. There are duties. Realtors have duties to the public, and if those duties are breached.
But is there any recourse that the potential buyer could contact or get information about the agent?
Well, they probably have their contact information. If they're part of a company, they can easily learn the broker.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, there are rights, and like anything else, like our intro says, maybe seek the advice of counsel.
Okay.
Hope you haven't been threatened in any way, though.
No, we're good. We're good.
Well, thank you for your call, Melanie.
Thank you.
We have Bill on the line. Bill?
Yes, I'm back again.
Bill.
A very important point that the conversation hasn't gone to yet, but I thought it's worth bringing up.
Great.
In our area, at least, and I'm sure in most areas in the country, Craigslist for properties for rent. What these folks are doing out on the internet is selecting homes and the address of those homes from the internet, putting them for rent, even though they're for sale, on Craigslist at a very, very enticing rate. And they're getting renters that are interested in single-family homes to call and saying, if you send us a deposit of $1,000 or $2,000, the first one that gets it, we will send the keys out to you to look at the property. And they're not even for rent. They're for sale, and they're skimming thousands and thousands of dollars from the unsuspecting renter.
That comes back to educating the public. And it's an old saying, if it appears too good to be true, it probably is. And that kind of scam, we have to apply that. Those kind of scams have a bunch of things in common. The inability to meet with somebody face-to-face and show the property. Even if they make an agreement to meet on a Saturday afternoon, that person at the other end is not showing up. They're going to call with an excuse as to why they couldn't be there and make an excuse why the lockbox isn't in place, but look at the property anyway, walk around it. It's the inability to meet with somebody face-to-face prior to a transaction that they're banking on. It often includes somebody being out of the country. They need a kind soul to look after this property. They have a story that goes with it that seems believable. So if it's too good to be true, it probably is. And if they can't meet, if nobody can meet with you face-to-face, this is not a right deal.
Good point. Scott?
Yeah, there are scams. I mean, Craigslist is rife with scams, and I've heard Craig himself speak about it. They've said they're going to try to clean up. But look, at this point, Craigslist has been around for 15 years, at least, since maybe longer, the late 90s. If people are of any kind of sophisticated nature, and that's not to knock them, you know, the Internet is a place to be wary of in a lot of instances. As Tom says, if it is too good to be true, but it's not too much to ask if you're a consumer to actually meet the broker and actually view the premises.
Right. So Craigslist is really just a marketing... it's a place to market.
Like a newspaper.
Like a newspaper.
Right.
But you should still bring those buyers face-to-face in an office, get them pre-qualified, and know exactly who you're dealing with. It's really not a Craigslist issue.
These are, you know, in no uncertain terms that this is the case. And I don't know if you know, Tom, there's maybe part of this Safe Harbor Initiative, where based on the location of an office, let's use Westchester, if someone has a client and they're in Pelham, they're not going to get up to Pound Ridge. They're just not. So if there's the real estate offices up in Pound Ridge would give Safe Harbor to the Pelham broker's client, meet with them, because it's much more logistically appropriate. Meet with them, do their work, get their ID, sit down, and maybe escort them, maybe offer a referral commission. But if anything else, if someone lives in Somers, they want to check out Pound Ridge, they're not going to travel to Pelham and then back and tour the county. So there are offices that are now open for everyone's use. It's a reciprocal arrangement where agents say, use my office, because I'm here. I mean, or let's say Mamaroneck and Irvington, opposite set, east and west. There are offices that are cooperating with each other and assisting them get people into offices. That's an initiative which I really believe in strongly.
I think it's a beautiful program if it works as advertised. When there's a mistake, when I assumed you vetted this person and you referred them to me and you assumed I'm going to vet them when I finally meet them, we don't want that to happen. The vetting still has to take place and it has to be verified. Who checked this person out? Who learned as much about this person as possible before my agent was ever alone with them? And in that situation, did it happen in Pelham? Did it happen in Pound Ridge? It has to happen, and it has to be verified.
Victoria, let me tell you this. I'm very, very optimistic on the chances of this type of reform and help. I am. I'll tell you why.
I'm glad to hear that.
No, I really am. Because I was, in fact, before I put on these headphones, I wasn't, but I thought of it while I'm standing here. And here's two reasons. The first thing I said before was that these are independent contractors. However, thanks, Tim, take you out there. However, despite the fact they're independent contractors, if they're realtors, they live all by the same code of ethics, number one. And number two, in each and every MLS, they agree to what? Cooperate. So if they're going to cooperate, they're going to follow the rules of the board, and they're going to compensate each other pursuant to the agreement, and they're realtors with a whole bunch of ethics, 17 different rules, why would it be hard to just put an initiative such as Safe Harbor together, and why wouldn't you expect cooperation? Once a seller says it, it's not going to be met with any opposition. It could flip really overnight.
I agree with you. And I think that realtors are very friendly, social beings, and we all do, for the most part, get along with each other. You know, and I don't think that we would ever have a problem coming into your office if we were from another company, or if anyone from your office wanted to go and use the office of somebody else's. I don't think that would be a problem at all. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that with education and these guidelines, Tom, that you've put in place, that we can certainly raise the bar.
Perfect. Yes.
It should be that way. It should be from the grassroots, the people, to the professionals, really, really not just guiding, but strongly urging those people to get right. Because, you know the book, Who Moved My Cheese? The cheese has definitely been moved.
Right. And it begins with the realtor, but it also has to follow through to the seller and to the consumer, just as we were talking
it's
about before.
It's a re-education. They all have it to truly understand. Is across the board. The American public needs to understand a little bit more about what the real estate agent does, and a real estate agent has to educate that client, and it has to be the same education mm-hmm. that they're getting from various companies. The answer has to be the same. This is the way we do it as an industry across the board.
Absolutely. We started this radio show today talking about open houses, and I know that you were just speaking recently on open houses. Can you share some tips that we should be aware of?
Absolutely. Absolutely. First of all, real estate can be a solitary profession, but it doesn't have to be. There's a certain strength in numbers. Two people are much more formidable than one person. If you can have another person, a mortgage broker, a somebody else that's in the business of meeting people that are buying houses, it's always a good idea to have that second person. Even if it's just somebody that loves you and cares about you, mm-hmm. have a second person when you're meeting with complete strangers. I don't know whether the open house is still a viable commodity. With the internet, people can see everything they need to see.
Right. They can take that virtual tour through the entire house without even going there.
And if this is an appealing property, they can contact their agent and be taken to the location. I don't know whether it's ingrained in the American public that I'm selling my house and I want an open house every other Saturday, or it's agents saying, we've always done it this way, so why should we change?
Right. And sometimes the realtor is also looking for buyers to bring to other properties as well.
It's a way to meet people. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is a realtor that is not marketing himself or herself property. And it starts at some level with the I versus we mentality in how we market ourselves.
Right.
I will be all alone from 2 to 4 on Saturday afternoon on 15 secluded acres, as opposed to we. Let our team show you this property. It's just a perception that we're creating through our marketing, but the person reading that ad or looking at that marketing says, this is ABC Realty, a team bringing me this property, versus that person who I've seen on Facebook or I've seen on Twitter or on realtor.com, and I want to be alone with that person.
I have another question for you in regards to open houses. You mentioned some statistics. You said 189 people that were in the industry have been killed in the last 6 years.
Correct.
Right? Were most of them at open houses, or were they because it was a Pop-Tart? Because for me, an open house, I'm much more concerned about the homeowner and the homeowner's safety.
Right.
I wouldn't typically worry so much about the realtor, because as somebody's walking in the house, somebody else could be walking in too unexpectedly.
Right.
So I'm thinking that it's probably more of that Pop-Tart agent. But I don't know. Maybe you can shed some light on that.
Quite possibly. Robbery is the motive. Violent crime against real estate agents, robbery is overwhelmingly the motive. And it's often unpredictable and unprovoked. In addition to that, we started off with talking about Monday. The vast majority of violent crime against real estate agents take place Thursday afternoon and Friday afternoon. I don't know if that's open house time or not. To me, that's showing time. We should all be at happy hour on Thursday and Friday afternoon. We should not be out showing homes. It's much safer that way. But statistically, 70% of our victims are female, 30% are male. It's not a gender issue. It's an industry issue. It's viewed as a soft target that gives ample opportunity. What we need to do is limit the opportunity to become a victim.
Wow, that's really, really great information. Tom, how do we reach you if our listeners want to get in touch with you?
You can find us online at newyorksfinestspeakers.com, www.nyfinestspeakers.com, or I'm at 646-269-8861. We're New York's Finest Speakers. We're a law enforcement public speakers bureau. We speak at schools on internet safety and drug awareness, and for real estate organizations on realtor safety.
That's fantastic. And you've spoken at many realtor organizations.
Yes, we have. It's been very well received, and it's evolved over time how we do it. We get feedback from the realtors themselves.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you both,
Scott,
for having me.
How do we reach you?
I'm easy. My cell phone's 914-879-8411, or you can check out www.exitrealtygroup.com and find me. I'm an associate broker at Exit Realty Group.
And you have some news about your
Realty. Some news. We are having a grand opening. I'll share it on the Periscope audience on 5 to 8 on Thursday the 24th at 75 North Central Avenue, Elmsford. Come and have come thirsty, come hungry, and be ready to dance.
And who's going to be there?
that night. You will be there.
I will be there.
Right?
Yes, I will.
Yeah, you'll be there. Hope so. Dance and shoes. We'll have some fun. It's a celebration of the big day.
Awesome. Awesome. And I just want to thank everyone for listening to us every Monday. We are here at 6 p.m. It is a live show. We do welcome your calls. Next week, we have Paul Oster coming in, and he'll be speaking about identity theft. So please tune in, WFASAM.com. I'm Victoria Rivadeneira. I can be reached at VictoriaRIVA.com. Thank you again.
From the Entergy Studios, it's News Talk 1230.